GatorGood.com.
Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, and we're going to hear the last segment of Democracy Now! In just a moment. We're going to also try to raise in the next 2 hours $3,000. Sean Kinnan is here, and Sean, several people called in during the last few minutes of Democracy Now!, and I think some people have called in during the last few minutes of From a Woman's Point of View. Anonymous made a donation of $50 during Democracy Now!, so Anonymous, thank you. And another Anonymous made a donation of $50. Anonymous, thank you, from Seminole, Florida. And Patrick Collins from Tampa made a $100 contribution and likes Radioactivity, Amy Goodman, and Richard Wolf, and all the afternoon talk shows, he says. So, Patrick, thanks for your ongoing support for WMNF. Great to hear from you again. And Sean, we're going to have to get these lines lit.
Yeah.
And $3,000 is what we want to raise between now and 1 o'clock. Mitch will be along in the next hour, too.
And we can do that with your help. If you like the programming you're hearing today on Democracy Now! On From a Woman's Point of View, and we're going to have Radioactivity and Midpoint as well today, if that's important to you, give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can also go to the web at WMNF.org and make a secure donation there on our website, or on the WMNF phone app. It's a smartphone app, and you can hit the support button there or the tip jar. If you want to support WMNF and community radio, 813-239-9663.
Let's listen to this Democracy Now! We're going to play it, and then I think we're going to try to play another interesting, we've got an interesting program that we're going to play in about 20 minutes. But here is the rest of today's Democracy Now!, and they're going to look at the question of redlining here in the U.S., and then while this is on, we hope to get at least one phone call for the great reporting that Amy Goodman does every day on Democracy Now! The phone number to call, again, is 813-239-9663. You can also make your donation of any amount, whatever you can afford, by going to our secure website at WMNF.org. So here it is, the last segment of today's Democracy Now!
Just for being a believer, all I can do is make these words move through the speaker. Broadcast the world, I'm categorized, and if I'm being spied on, it's not surprising. It's got me sitting back, strategizing, joining the resistance on the front lines, documenting what I see through my own eyes. Swiftly we come alive, new paradigm. I smile at all passerbys, 'cause words can't describe how it's time to rise.
Inside job goes way beyond zeitgeist, telling us to go with the grain like white rice. And all this hype got me ghost like white bikes, believing what we read and then we don't even think twice. Rolling loaded dice, got us skating on some thin ice. It's got me speaking up, clearing out my windpipes. I've been nice, but the time has come to rip mice. Music saves lives and I just wanna live life. Will not be defined by white stars and red stripes. When I was a little tight, I didn't act right. Then I discovered rap and it kept me from fist fights. In the beginning I was discouraged and disliked. I was spray painting train cars at midnight.
All right, so it looks like we're having that same old problem that we had before, and that is that Democracy Now! Isn't playing back. So we're trying to get our engineers to work on it, and let's see here. I think we can probably find it from a different location. So here is more of today's Democracy Now!, and you are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let's see if we can find the location for today's Democracy Now! As we try to overcome some of these technical issues here. And here's Democracy Now!
And associated weaponry. I want to address, though, what Donald Trump said.
All right. We've already heard that segment. So we're going to go just fast forward a little bit and see if we can get to the place that we were planning to play. All right, and that is not going to work. So, okay, let's see if we can get at least one donation right now for the great program Democracy Now! We're going to hear the closing segment of it in just a little bit. But we're hoping that you'll call up at 813-239-9663. Let us know that you're out there. Let us know that you enjoy listening to Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Show. And we're going to try to rejoin Democracy Now! In just a moment. Let's see if we have found the right spot.
But there are people.
All right, not yet. We're almost there. We are almost there.
We need to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is the number to call in if you support Amy Goodman's show and Democracy Now! And the rest of the programming here at WMNF.org.
All right, so let's see if we can pick up Democracy Now! Now.
Him too. And I want to end with an issue.
Nope, we're still not up to the point where we can hand it over. So, Sean, it looks like From a Woman's Point of View is doing really well. And we're going to thank those people that called during From a Woman's Point of View. I think they got a lot of big donations today. That's huge. And let's see if we can get at least one donation right now at 813-239-9663. And you can also send your donation to us by going to our secure website. Go to WMNF.org. Now, let's see if we can pick up today's Democracy Now! I hope that we are close enough that we can pick up today's Democracy Now! Let's see.
Guns, democracy, and the insurrectionist idea.
All right, here it is.
This is Democracy Now! When we come back, one of the biggest cases of bank redlining in decades. Stay with us.
Wish we could all pause and take a moment. Discover the cause at the root of the commotion. Wanna make the world a better place? Better be ready to do whatever it takes. But is that really what you're ready to face? To see yourself.
You know, every day, Amy Goodman has incredible interviews with a wide range of activists and politicians and authors, journalists, and you know, when you watch cable TV, it's hard to find the range. And in an hour-long show, the range of what Amy Goodman does is just incredible. So that's why we hope that you'll make that contribution right now so we can continue bringing you Democracy Now! You know, Democracy Now! Is also on our HD3 channel. We carry it every morning at 8 a.m., and then we carry a rebroadcast of it at 5 p.m. on our HD3 channel, The Source, which is an all-news and talk service that we provide. Easy to get to. You just have a computer and go to WMNF.org, and you can listen all day to news and talk on HD3 if you like news and talk. So let's see if we get our first donation right now for Amy Goodman, 813-239-9663.
You can also make a web pledge at WMNF.org, or on the WMNF smartphone app, you can hit the support button or the tip jar button. We need to hear from you now, 813-239-9663, if you support Democracy Now!
Music saves lives, and I just want to live life. Will not be defined by white stars and red stripes. When I was a little tight, I didn't act right. Then I discovered rap, and it kept me from fist fights. In the beginning, I was discouraged and disliked. I was spray painting train cars at midnight, observing all the negative chatter. I just laugh because I'm busy turning words into matter.
Words Matter by Scarlett Crow, featuring Jackson Wallen, here on Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
A shocking new investigation by Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting has uncovered evidence that African Americans and Latinos are continuing to be routinely denied conventional mortgage loans at rates far higher than their white counterparts across the country. Reveal based its report on a review of 31 million mortgage records filed with the federal government in 2015 and 2016. This is Reveal data reporter Emmanuel Martinez speaking on PBS NewsHour about the investigation.
Here we have the likelihood of denial. So black applicants in Philadelphia are almost three times as likely to be denied a conventional mortgage.
Reveal found this troubling pattern in dozens of cities. Philadelphia was one of the largest.
In 61 metros across the country, applicants of color are more likely to be denied a conventional mortgage, even if they have the same financial characteristics as a non-Hispanic white applicant.
The Reveal investigation found the redlining occurring across the country, including in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, St. Louis, San Antonio, Texas. The report is being published as the nation is preparing to mark the 50th anniversary of President Lyndon B. Johnson signing the Fair Housing Act of April 1968.
The voice of justice speaks again. It proclaims that fair housing for all human beings who live in this country is now a part of the American way of life.
We're joined now by two guests. Aaron Glantz, senior reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. His new investigation headline, Kept Out, How Banks Block People of Color from Home Ownership. And we're joined by Rochelle Faroul, a 33-year-old African-American woman who was rejected twice by lenders when she tried to buy a brick row house in Philadelphia, where Reveal found African-Americans were 2.7 times as likely as whites to be denied a conventional mortgage. She was only able to buy a home when her half-white partner, Hanako Franz, signed on. At the time, Hanako was nearly unemployed and working part-time at a grocery store. Aaron and Rochelle, we welcome you both to Democracy Now! Aaron, let's begin with you in San Francisco. First of all, explain what redlining is and then how African-Americans and Latinos are kept out. Why this is such a critical story today?
Well, Amy, 80 years ago, the federal government drew lines on maps.
Well, we seem to have lost Aaron for a moment in a little satellite glitch. So why don't we go right off to Ta-Nehisi Coates. He talked about the legacy of redlining during an appearance on Democracy Now! A few years ago, the significance of what this means for the Black and the Latino community.
There's no way to understand housing as it exists today without federal policy. Black people, as was the thing at the time, could not be responsible homeowners. The FHA literally drew up the redlining map and then basically distributed, the Homeowners Loan Corporation actually did it, and then distributed to banks who used that as policy to determine how they would lend and who they would lend to. The racism in the system was pervasive and total. And the fact that African Americans have been cut out of it is not shocking if you understand what the country was in the 1930s and the 1940s. And this redounds throughout generations. As we know, homes are how people in America build wealth largely. And if you cut Black people out of that opportunity, a lot is explained about what the African-American community looks like today.
So that was Ta-Nehisi Coates. Rochelle Faroul, tell us your story. You managed a $1 million grant in your job at the University of Pennsylvania, or contractor with Rutgers Universities. Two lenders turned you down when you tried to buy a home?
Yes, and thank you so much for having me. I started my home ownership journey in 2016, soon after I moved to Philadelphia from Brooklyn, where I was born and raised. And I wanted to own property, like my mom, like many of her siblings and their parents. And from the beginning, it was just so difficult for me to make this happen. And it's not to say that I'm at all surprised. As an organizer, as someone who is very well-read and well-versed in all of the ways that Black people in America have been disenfranchised routinely over the years, I was more hurt than surprised. And it really wasn't until my partner, Hanako, who identifies as Asian, not half-white, stepped in and offered to be my co-borrower that it was pretty much smooth sailing, to the extent that our application was approved, but as soon as she came on, I was largely ignored. And really all that mattered was my money. That is, unfortunately, not the experience of a large number of Black people who try to buy homes in America. Most of us are routinely denied, our applications are rejected, and we are forced to continue to rent from people who don't care about us, don't care about our well-being, and don't really consider or value the ways in which we help them accrue wealth.
And Rochelle, could you talk about how it is? I mean, you tried on two different occasions to get a loan. How did the loan officers treat you, and how did they treat your partner?
Sure. So in 2016, when I started this process by myself, I had all of the paperwork. I had my tax returns, which I do every year. At that time, I was freelancing and was told that I needed to have more steady income because so much of my income at the time is undocumented. to the extent that I was being paid in cash or I wasn't being paid regularly. And they told me that I needed to have a full-time job. I then asked if it was possible for me to have a co-signer. And they said yes. I asked my mom. She said yes right away because this has been just as much a dream for her as it has been for me. And we were rejected right away. And Angela Colloy from FHA told us that the reason why my mom couldn't be a co-signer was because she had too much student loan debt from her PhD, from my bachelor's, and also from my brother's. My mom has been incredible in helping me stay afloat, my brother and I stay afloat over the years. And it was really hurtful. At that time, I was mostly hurt for her because she wanted to be able to support her child in this, you know, really impactful and powerful way, and was told that she couldn't. And so I left it at that. And got a full-time job here at Penn where I still work managing a large grant. And about a year later, I started the process again with the Penn Homeownership Services forgivable loan that's offered to Penn employees. And again, I experienced a lot of difficulty, this time with Santander Bank. It was overall a humiliating process, but one that was also really beautiful in a way, because all of the people who showed up for me, including Aaron, Ray, the entire team at the Center for Investigative Reporting, Hanako, who is an incredible human, my friends, my colleagues, folks really, you know, understood the meaning of what is happening and did as much as they could to support me in my journey. And so while this has been, and still is, you know, months after we closed, this has been, you know, a reckoning.
Hanako signed on with you?
I'm sorry?
You only got it when Hanako signed on with you?
Yes, and it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's something that we still laugh about. So Hanako's co-borrower application was approved at a time when her credit score was in the 700s, and that is what mattered most. For whatever reason, what didn't matter at all was the fact that Hanako was working part-time at a grocery store. Her most recent pay stub was like $115. I was helping her pay her health insurance because, you know, she had such little cash.
Well, listen, before we get to the end of the show, we wanted to bring Aaron Glantz in, although I think we just have you on the telephone, not in a studio, Aaron, because of the satellite glitch. But explain what redlining is and why this is such an important expose kept out, how banks block people of color from home ownership.
Well, I mean, as you said earlier, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Fair Housing Act in 1968, and that was supposed to make mortgage discrimination illegal. And it was supposed to allow people to build wealth no matter what their race was. And it was supposed to end segregation. And what we found in our investigation 50 years later is that in dozens of cities across the country, people of color are still being turned away from the opportunity to live the American dream. And further, we found that the government is completely dropping the ball on its enforcement of these laws. We found that the Obama administration had sued only a handful of banks for violating the Fair Housing Act. In his first year in office, the Trump administration's Justice Department did not sue a single financial institution. And the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, which is in charge of enforcing another law called the Community Reinvestment Act, which is supposed to get banks to lend in low-income communities and underserved neighborhoods, was passing these institutions on their community lending reviews 99% of the time. So basically, the government is saying that everyone in the banking and mortgage industry is doing a fantastic job. And yet we found that across the country, people of color are being turned away, even when they make the same amount of money as whites, even when they're trying to take on the same size loan as whites, and even when they're trying to buy in the same neighborhoods as whites.
And you found that Philadelphia, where Rochelle Ferrule is, it was particularly egregious.
We found that in Philadelphia, African Americans were 2.7 times more likely to be turned away for a loan, even when you take into account factors that loan officers should be using, like income. That race was still a factor, even after taking into account income and the size of the loan. But as you mentioned, Philadelphia is not the only city. We found this problem in Atlanta. We found it in Washington, D.C. We found it in San Antonio, Texas, and Detroit, Michigan, and Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Tacoma, Washington, all over the country. 61 metropolitan areas.
We're going to have to leave it there, Aaron, but we will link to your piece, Kept Out. And thanks so much to Rochelle Ferrule. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
All right, so we were able to hear that really important segment on Democracy Now! Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We want to thank a few people who have called in. Thanks to Mary Budd from Largo, who's called in a nice donation. Thank you, Mary. And thanks to Harold Gillette, a $100 contribution, likes all the public affairs, and taking the Al Gore film, An Inconvenient Sequel, the brand-new movie about global warming that just came out within the last year. So thanks, Hal, for that nice contribution. And we're trying to raise $3,000 while we're listening to Radioactivity today and also while we listen to Midpoint. Mitch Perry will be along in a moment. So we're going to try to raise some money. Let's see if we can get at least one phone call this break. If you appreciate the fact that Amy Goodman points out these stories that sometimes don't get heightened attention on the mainstream media, we hope that you'll call us up and give us an attaboy for caring Democracy Now! And our number is 813-239-9663. We exist on donations from listeners. Our budget is about $1.7 million. About $1.1 million of it comes directly from our listeners. And then based on what we raise, we do get a slight match from the government. It's sort of like 10 cents on the dollar. So what we're able to raise locally, the government will give us a slight match. It doesn't match dollar for dollar. It just gives us a percentage match of what we're able to raise locally. So we're hoping that you'll call in right now at 813-239-9663. And I want to play an interview that I did a few weeks ago that I think you'll find very interesting. And it's all about artificial intelligence and what some scientists are warning is the danger of some aspects of artificial intelligence. So we're going to talk about that in just about 2 minutes. So, Sean, I guess we've got nobody else to thank, though.
Yeah, right now we don't have anyone to thank, but we would like to thank you on the air. And if you can be anonymous if you'd like, or you can give us your, you know, we can thank you on the air by name, but we can only do that if you support this programming by calling 813-239-9663 or going to the website and donating at WMNF.org. It's a secure website. You can also go on the phone app and hit the support button or the tip jar button there. If you like the great interviews that Rob does, such as this one on the killer bots that he's about to play, or if you like the excellent Democracy Now! That you heard today and you hear every single morning at 9, we need to hear from you. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663, or you can pledge online at WMNF.org.
And before we go back to the next program, Daryl Purchase, thanks a lot for your $30 contribution from St. Petersburg. Great to hear from you. And that really does help the cause. So we've heard from three people so far. We need to hear from about 35 people between now and 1 o'clock. So let's listen to this interview that I did a few weeks ago about Slaughterbots. These are tiny autonomous drones that can recognize facial features and can act as assassins. Now, it sounds like something from, you know, some far-out movie that will never come to life. But some scientists are worried that governments and even some terrorist organizations are trying to develop these autonomous drones that are tiny, that could fit in the palm of your hand, even smaller than that, and that could go out and assassinate people. They could assassinate people based on their political party. They could assassinate people based on the color of their skin. They could assassinate people who are just simply college students. And you'll hear some of the audio to a really fascinating video called Slaughterbots in this segment. So here's a program that I did just a few weeks ago. Listen up. And this is kind of typical of what we do on Radioactivity.
The nation is still recovering from yesterday's incident, which officials are describing as some kind of automated attack, which killed 11 U.S. senators at the Capitol building.
They flew in from everywhere, but attacked just one side of the aisle. It was chaos. People were screaming.
You can see high windows, very small, precisely punctured to gain entry to the building.
What did you do for the victim?
I just did what I could for him. Things weren't even interested in me. They're just buzzing.
Government sources admit the intelligence community has no idea who perpetrated the attack, nor whether it was a state, group, or even a single individual.
Well, that's from the new film Slaughterbots, which portrays an attack on the U.S. Senate. And we're joined now by Ariel Khan, who's the director of media and outreach for the Future of Life Institute, a group that is behind this film Slaughterbots. Ariel, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
That's a pretty scary opening to your film. It depicts an attack on the U.S. Senate by something that the film calls Slaughterbots. What are Slaughterbots?
So Slaughterbots are basically mini drones that are powered by artificial intelligence. So they are able to identify, track, lock onto targets, and kill the target without human intervention or any type of human command or control.
How big are they?
They're very small. If you watch the video, you'll see that they can fit in the palm of your hand. They're about the size of the mini toy drones that you can find in stores today.
Now, why did you make the film?
Stuart Russell is an AI researcher, and he's sort of the brainchild behind this. And he's been studying artificial intelligence for at least a couple decades now. He and a colleague of his literally wrote the book that anyone who studies AI research reads. So he knows a lot about this, and he's been worried about the direction that artificial intelligence is taking as far as autonomous weapons go. We seem to be moving towards less and less what they call human in the loop with the potential for these weapons. And we're not there yet, but we're seeing technology move in that direction.
So you mentioned Stuart Russell, who's a computer science professor at UC Berkeley. I want to play another segment of this film. And it shows a guy who reminds me of Steve Jobs. He's standing up in front of a giant screen in front of an audience, and he's demonstrating the new product, these new small drones that don't need to be controlled by humans. Let's just listen to a little bit more of the film Slaughterbots.
Okay.
Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works. Did you see that? That little bang is enough to penetrate the skull and destroy the contents.
Well, the film shows this tiny drone landing on the head of a human-like figure. It's not an alive figure. It's a mannequin. And it explodes the head with this 3 grams of explosive. Right at the center of the forehead, it explodes and drives the explosion into the brain of this mannequin. Is this possible?
So the technology doesn't exist today. We created this based on our understanding of what is possible, though.
Now, these drones are self-directed. They have facial identification recognition. They can seek out specific people. In that first clip that we played, they were seeking out members of the U.S. Senate, apparently of only one party, to murder.
Yep. Well, as I said, I don't know if you'll share any further clips, but later in the film, they also target based on how people use social media.
Yeah, we're going to play that in a sec.
So
these drones, essentially, if there's a way to get into a building through the air, they could get into a building through the air.
Yes. And our video, we also have them set up so that there's sort of a small little mothership, if you will, that can carry 18 of these mini drones, mini Slaughterbots, and this larger vehicle can blow through walls of pretty much any type of wall, regardless of what it's made of. And then from that, the smaller Butterbots can get into the building as well. And I'd also like to add that this was sort of one version of what we think could happen, but we're by no means limited to the technologies that are shown in this video.
We're talking with Ariel Khan, who's Director of Media and Outreach for the Future of Life Institute, about a new film called Slaughterbots, which depicts tiny autonomous drones that are able to assassinate people. They're autonomous, so once they fly away from their maker and are given their mission, they can kill anybody that they're directed to kill. It's quite an amazing film. Tell us about the Future of Life Institute. What's the purpose of your group?
So our goal is to mitigate existential risks. We're trying to figure out how to make sure that as we continue to develop technology and looking back at some of what we've already developed, how can we make sure that it is benefiting all of humanity and that we don't basically accidentally destroy each other with it. So artificial intelligence is an area that we look at. Nuclear weapons are another area that we look at. We do a little bit with biotechnology and climate change. But our goal is to both aim for a better future for humanity and also make sure that we continue to exist.
Ariel, are there any ethical rules by which drone scientists and drone engineers, people that are developing these systems, are there any sort of ethical rules that would prevent them right now from developing autonomous drones that could seek out people using facial recognition and kill them?
I am not aware of anything that's in place right now. That is something that we are working on and quite a few other organizations are working on developing. But I'm not aware of anything that would prevent it today.
I want to play another clip. This is where kids who are, I take it in Scotland, college kids in Scotland, who are using social media, I guess they're dissident kids or they're kids that maybe are against the government or the dominant paradigm, they're attacked by these autonomous drones. And this is from the film Slaughterbots. Let's listen in.
Let's watch the weapons make the decisions. Now, trust me, these were all bad guys. Now, that is an airstrike of surgical precision. It's one of a range of products. Trained as a team, they can penetrate buildings, cars, trains, evade people, bullets, pretty much any countermeasure. They cannot be stopped. Now, I said this was big. Why? Because we are thinking big. Watch. A $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city, the bad half. Nuclear is obsolete. Take out your entire enemy, virtually risk-free. Just characterize him, release the swarm, and rest easy. These are available today.
All right, well, that was not the clip I wanted to play, but that's the Steve Jobs figure again in the film Slaughterbots, is showing what these tiny drones of the future are capable of, going after and killing just the bad guys. And I guess, Ariel, the question is, who gets to decide who are the bad guys?
That is the million-dollar question, right? I mean, that's part of what makes these so scary, is it's nice in theory as long as you're on the good side, but there's no way to guarantee which side you're going to end up on compared to who has the capabilities of these weapons.
Do scientists really believe that these new autonomous drones are more powerful, more deadly than nuclear weapons?
I think what makes these weapons so scary is that they're so much easier to use and they're so much easier for more people to get their hands on. It's not that easy to build and launch a nuclear weapon. I mean, I know there are concerns that weapons could fall into the wrong hands, et cetera, but it becomes a lot easier when you have technology like this. In theory, nuclear materials are detectable, whereas all of the technology that exists in these Slaughterbots exists on your phone. So there's no real easy way to differentiate. So I don't know that we're worried they'd kill more than a nuclear explosion could, but I think they're more likely to be used.
Ariel, how far away are these autonomous assassination drones? How far away do you think scientists are from being capable of producing them?
I have heard Stuart Russell say that if we really made a push, we could probably do something in about 18 months.
18 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's what he said, but very soon.
Let's go back and hear one more clip from the film, and this is where the dissident students in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland, are attacked by these drones. Well, you can hear in that segment from Slaughterbots the sound of the swarming drones, and then the kids trying to run away from the drones, and you can hear the explosions as the drones land on the foreheads of the kids that are targeted for assassination, and a desperate mom here in the U.S. trying to call her son over in Europe and trying to reach him and unsuccessfully trying to reach him. Ariel, you're part of a group called Stop Autonomous Weapons. This is a real campaign to stop this from ever becoming a reality. How can people find out more?
So we have a lot of information at autonomousweapons.org, and that's a really good place to start. We've been trying to compile various reports and news that are coming out from different organizations that are trying to address the situation. The Campaign to Stop Killer Robots is another really great resource. I'm not entirely sure if their URL is actually... I'm not entirely sure what the URL is, but if you just do a search for Campaign to Stop Killer Robots, they'll come up. But autonomousweapons.org is a nice, easy one to go to, and we link to them. I would recommend checking that out to start.
And do you have any governments that have endorsed this campaign to stop autonomous weapons, or have any politicians signed on, any scientists? Tell us about who backs this idea to stop technology from going this far.
Yeah, quite a few people. The United Nations met to discuss whether or not they were going to consider negotiating a ban against autonomous weapons in November, and that was what prompted this film. And unfortunately, they didn't do quite as much as we would have hoped, but there are currently 22 countries that would support a ban, and we think that that number is likely to increase. I know of a resolution in San Mateo, California, that one of the local legislators is trying to push through. That did not succeed on the first attempt, but they're still discussing it. And a lot of scientists have come out in opposition to it. We had an open letter that went out in 2015. I don't remember the exact number, but thousands of scientists and artificial intelligence researchers from around the world signed that. It total word over 20,000 people, and quite a few of them are scientists and specifically AI researchers. And then this summer, we saw a bunch of AI companies signed an open letter encouraging the UN to ban autonomous weapons, and that includes Elon Musk's organization, that includes DeepMind, which is one of the lead AI organizations that's associated with Google right now, and quite a few other companies. So there are definitely efforts happening around the world to try to get these stopped.
And the scientist Stephen Hawking is on board too.
Yes. He's signed in opposition to those.
Ariel, this is a short film. It's about 7.5 minutes, but it is really well done. Mm-hmm. Who made the film?
I believe the group was called Space Digital.
Well, Ariel, is there anything else that you'd like to point out about your group, the Future of Life Institute, or the other group, Stop Autonomous Weapons. Is there anything else you'd like to point out about the groups or about the film Slaughterbots that maybe a question I should have asked you that I didn't ask?
I don't think so. I think you've asked everything that I would want to cover. The one thing that I would add is that there are organizations like ours and like the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots that are trying to take action to stop these weapons. And the more support we have from everyone, the more likely it is to happen.
Well, Ariel Khan, thank you very much, the Director of Media and Outreach for the Future of Life Institute. Ariel, thank you for coming on WMNF and talking about the film Slaughterbots.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we're going to go out with the words of Stuart Russell, who's a computer science professor at UC Berkeley, who helped produce the video warning people about the dangers of killer smart robots. Here's Professor Russell.
This short film is more than just speculation. It shows the results of integrating and miniaturizing technologies that we already have. I'm Stuart Russell, a professor of computer science at Berkeley. I've worked in AI for more than 35 years. Its potential to benefit humanity is enormous, even in defense. But allowing machines to choose to kill humans will be devastating to our security and freedom. Thousands of my fellow researchers agree. We have an opportunity to prevent the future you just saw, but the window to act is closing fast.
And if you want to see Slaughterbots, you can send me an email, and I'll send you a copy of the film via email. Just send it to dj@wmnf.org. This is Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Well, that is a segment that I produced a few months ago, and thought that you might like to hear it again. It's true that scientists are looking at autonomous weapons, and the potential danger is huge. And I guarantee you, too, that if you look at local radio stations around the Tampa Bay area, no other local radio station is reporting this except for WMNF. And that's why we hope you'll support us during this fund drive. And we're asking you to make a contribution. It could be $10 a month, or it could be $10 a year. It could be $1,000. It could be $150. Whatever is in your budget. And please call this number right now at 813-239-9663. Sean Canan is here. And Sean, I think we've had one donation in the last few minutes. Kenneth Fialos from Sefner made a $25 donation. That was the only donation that we've got. Let's see if we can get one more right now. And we'd like to hear from a bunch of people in the next hour and 10 minutes. We'd like to hear from about 35 people. Again, the number to call, 813-239-9663.
It's great to hear from that one person already, but we do need to hear from you. If you support Radioactivity and the great interviews that Rob brings you every single weekday at 11 on 88.5 FM WMNF, if that's something that's important to you, and if it's something that you feel has value, we need you to support it by calling 813-239-9663, or you can go and donate on our secure website, WMNF.org, or you can donate on the smartphone app, WMNF app, at the tip jar there. So we do need to hear from you, 813-239-9663.
And Mitch Perry is here. Mitch, the phones are beginning to light up. Mm-hmm. We're beginning to get a few phone calls. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663.
Yeah, good interview there, Rob. A very interesting topic that I have certainly not read much about in all the discussion about AI and the increasing robots taking over our jobs, perhaps in the next decade or shorter than that. Depending on where you shop, perhaps you're already seeing that happen right now. So, absolutely. The type of interviews that you get from Rob Lori every day, Monday through Friday here at MNF. If you want to show your appreciation, we would love to hear from you right now, 813-239-9663 for Radioactivity, again, which airs 11 to noon here every day, Monday through Friday here on 88.5, which the station, of course, has been on the air since the late 70s, and it's been stayed on the air because of financial support from listeners like you, old and new alike. If you are a new listener, having come on maybe in the last year or so, a lot of people, of course, I've discovered living here in the last year, all of a sudden have been transfixed by politics in a way that they never were previous to the November of 26 election. And so perhaps you've only been listening to MNF for the last year or so. Thanks for listening, if that's the case. And no, this is the drill. We have to do this. We need your financial support to keep us on the air. Whatever contribution you give to us is really appreciated. And we've got, again, some great gifts that we can mention. We have been mentioning, we can tell you again about that.
One of those gifts, yeah. Mitch, is the Pacifica Voices That Changed the World flash drive that has 1,350 hours of Pacifica programs from the last 60 years, including speeches, interviews, documentaries featuring people like Dick Gregory, Studs Terkel, Tim Robbins, Dizzy Gillespie, Sylvia Plath, Alice Walker, Laurie Anderson, Allen Ginsberg, Naomi Wolf, Frank Zappa, Harry Shearer, David Bromberg, a documentary on the JFK assassination, a reading of Tolstoy's War and Peace, a reading of Orwell's 1984. This is all packed into a flash drive that has 1,350 hours of Pacifica programs. Pacifica was in the forefront of going out and finding interesting people who were not on mainstream radio back in the 50s and 60s, 70s and 80s, and getting them to either do speeches, interviews, recording their speeches, or doing documentaries about them. And so they have this treasure trove of radio programs that goes back to the 1950s. And so they've collected some of the best segments of their radio archives, including an interview with Jim Morrison of The Doors, Phil Oakes, the folk singer, is on this, Joseph Campbell, The Mystic is on this, Betty Friedan, Ralph Nader, Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., George Carlin, Pete Seeger. So you can have this entire flash drive for a donation of $150. And the number to call is 813-239-9663.
813-239-9663. If you support Radioactivity, if you want to get one of the thank you gifts like that flash drive for a $150 contribution, but if you can only make a $5 a month donation or maybe a one-time $35 donation, we'd love to hear from you as well. 813-239-9663 or WMNF.org if you like to support Radioactivity or Democracy Now! Or Midpoint with Mitch Perry, any of the great programs that happen on Thursday mornings or from a woman's point of view, give us a call right now, 813-239-9663.
We also have some, of course, live music shows coming up for those of you who are inclined to like to go out in the town here. Skipper Smokehouse is hosting Chuck Prophet next Wednesday night for an $80 contribution. You can go see him also with the Bottle Rockets and Bella's Bartok. Three bands. This is next Wednesday night, only for $80 for a pair of tickets for that. So give us a call right now. We've also got the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. That's coming up on Sunday, March 24th at 4 p.m. at Skipper Smokehouse. The weather, you know, it's excessively hot right now for winter, but therefore you go out. I was out eating al fresco last night, actually. It's actually pretty darn nice at night. So the show next week won't be too warm, not too cold. Be perfect for you to see Chuck Prophet out there for an $80 contribution. And also, I mentioned this last week here, coming up on Memorial Day weekend, the US Festival. You probably forget about it, but you shouldn't. It was very memorable back in Southern California in 1982-83. There was two of them, actually. By the way, Steve Wozniak from Apple fame, who's going to be speaking at USF like any day now, maybe it's next week. He, of course, was the creator of the US Festival. So we're going to be revisiting that or reduplicating it with local bands on Friday, May 25th and Saturday, May 26th. You can get $60 for one show, $80 for both shows, a pair of tickets, I should say. If you give us a call, 813-239-9663 here on 88.5 FM.
Yeah, and those concerts take place Friday, May 25th and Saturday, May 26th, the WMNF tribute to the 1983 US Festival. And Gregory, the smoothie guy from King Natural Catering, was here cooking breakfast for us today, and he wants to offer a bonus to anyone who donates $500 to $1,000. He'll cook breakfast or lunch for up to 20 people on site at your party. This can be its own thank you gift or in addition to any other premium you might pledge for. He loves community radio and wants to encourage our listeners to become supporters. You'd recognize Gregory from his booth at the Sweetwater Organic Farm or the St. Pete Morning Market on Saturdays, even Heatwave when he was in Ybor City, when it was in Ybor City. We're looking for some help with this membership drive, so if you're planning a small party and would like to take care of supporting WMNF and covering your food needs, Gregory is a vegan cook, this would be a double duty call to make today, so call us at 813-239-9663 or go to WMNF.org and pledge now. And I guess it's up to you. You can donate $500. You can donate $1,000. And he'll cook breakfast or lunch for up to 20 people on site at your party. Wow, isn't that great? All right.
And if you'd like that gift, we can give that to you for a $500 or more donation by calling 813-239-9663. Stephanie McKenzie from Brandon has donated $300 and likes the news and public affairs and the Saturday show. So thank you for that gift, Stephanie. Now we're waiting to hear from you, 813-239-9663.
And also looking for an in-kind contribution, if you will. We're looking for more computer-trained volunteers, if they're around this afternoon, to come by and help us answer the telephones right now. Actually, we only have a few people back there, and hopefully if we get more calls, we're going to need more people. So any of those of you out there within the MNF area, which of course we're located here in South Seminole Heights / East Tampa, 1210 MLK Drive, come on by if you've been trained here to help us out. But also, if you're just out there listening to us right now, we are asking for your financial contribution. We've just got a couple minutes left to go here before noon here. We've got a goal of, what is it, Rob, before 1 o'clock?
Before 1 o'clock, we'd like to raise $3,000. Okay. We're doing okay, but we need at least one more donation this hour at 813-239-9663. Mitch has a really special program. He's going to talk about healthcare coming up, and then we're going to hear a speech by Richard Wolf on Mitch's show, Midpoint, coming up next. So stick around for that. I think we've raised, it looks, Sean, like we've raised about $600 so far on our way to raising $3,000 for these this two-hour block.
That means we still need to hear from you. And you can go to the website WMNF.org and make a donation there, or you can call 813-239-9663. We really need to hear from you and hear that there's support for Radioactivity, that there's support for Midpoint on Thursday. Give us a call, 813-239-9663.
And when you go to our website, it's really easy. If you've got a computer in front of you and you just want to take 2 minutes, we ask you your name, your address, what your favorite shows are, how much you'd like to donate, and how you would like to pay for the donation. It could be a check or it could be a credit card. So please go to our secure website. It's an easy way to make a contribution. It's WMNF.org. That's WMNF.org. You can make your contribution there. We've raised about $600 and we've still got about $2,400 to go. And here's the number to call again, 813-239-9663. And remember, we have that great Pacifica flash drive that has so many interesting programs on it. It's got more than 50 hours.
I would love to hear this. I'm sorry, Rob. More than 50 hours of interviews.
50 hours of Alan Watts.
Oh, just Alan Watts alone. Okay.
Alan Watts alone. 50 hours of Alan Watts.
There's some people still very upset that the station no longer carries Alan Watts.
Alan Watts is great. He's on our HD3 channel. We do have him over there on our All News and Talk channel.
Well, you know, also on this Pacifica drive is Christopher Hitchens debating Chris Hedges on religion and politics. The late Chris Hitchens, that must be fascinating.
Both are fierce debaters.
Exactly.
Very good.
Very
debaters,
intense men. And I can't imagine how intense that might be to hear that. That's part of that $150 you get with that flash drive Pacifica program.
There's Mort Saul, the comedian, speaking at State College. Molly Ivins is on there. There's a history of the United Farm Workers grape strike in Delano in 1968. There is an interview with Jared Diamond, the author, who predicts how civilizations collapse. Audre Lorde, the poet, is on here. And let's see, Dolores Huerta is on this, Bella Abzug, Miriam Makeba. There's a tribute to Miriam Makeba's music. And Dick Ellman interviews Malcolm X. There's several Malcolm X programs. John Coltrane, there's a documentary about John Coltrane. Kurt Vonnegut, the author, and a very funny guy, too. And there's an interview with Kurt Vonnegut, pretty rare stuff. And then a documentary about the Chicago police riot at the Democratic National Convention in 1968. Historic programs, and they're all on this flash drive that has 1,350 hours of programs on it. You can get it for a $150 donation by calling 813-239-9663.
Rob, I have a couple of people to thank. We have Anonymous is donating $200 from Largo and is getting the WMNF grocery shopping bag, the reusable bag. So thank you for that donation. Susan Hatton from St. Petersburg is contributing $25. She says she loves everything about WMNF. She's already a Circle of Friends member, but wanted to donate a little extra to the best cause in the Tampa Bay area. Thank you for those donations. Now we need to hear from you, 813-239-9663. You can also make a secure website donation at WMNF.org or donate on our phone app, the WMNF phone app.
Yeah, by the way, that grocery bag, you know, St. Petersburg, if you're a resident there, you may not be able to have plastic bags anymore, so you're going to need that reusable garbage bag for, what is it, $88.50, I believe, a contribution? Yeah, I think so. So give us a call, 813-239-9663, especially for those folks in St. Petersburg, where you may be banning plastic in the next year or so. We'll have to wait and see about that.
All right, well, we've raised about $800. That's really good, and let's see if we can get one more donation. We're going to get the latest news, including we're going to find out what the president just said about the mass shooting yesterday in South Florida. We're going to get the news from NPR, but we need that last phone call this hour at 813-239-9663. A lot of pressure on Mitch. He's going to have to raise $2,200 in the next hour. That's huge. Let's see if he can do it. And this is WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. Here's the latest news from